is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. To Jeff Bliss is Pacific Watch. 1908, a female grizzly known unusually as Moccasin John was shot and killed, the last known grizzly in California. Trabuco Canyon, Jeff, where is that? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Trabuco Canyon is here in the Santa Ana Mountains, which is in the southeast portion of Orange County. They're the highest mountains in the area. They're not huge by Sierra Nevada standards, but they are, you know, quite visible. A lot of wildlife. It's a place that I report on a lot of fires occurring during the fire season. And with all the wildlife up there, it's not unusual. It's not, you know, strange to think that at one time we had grizzly bears in those mountains. And it's the stuff of lore when you grow up in this part of the world. It's part of your education when you learn about California history. You learn about the bears and the grizzly bears that used to be in these places.
Now the grizzly bears are gone, but remaining are the California black bears. Two versions, the California black bear and the Northwestern black bear, between 16 to 24,000 black bears. Check behind you, Jeff, before we do this. All right, fine. No black bears behind you. We're going to the Tahoe Basin, the Caldor Fire. Before we report on the success the firefighters have had, what about the black bears of the Tahoe Basin? What are they up to?
What's interesting is they know that the people were evacuated. They watched them leave. They knew they weren't going to be around, and they decided they're going to break into the houses and the businesses around the area. And they've been rifling through cabinets, storage areas, refrigerators, you name it, making a mess of many, many homes in the area, rifling through them for their foods. And it's probably triple the number, they say, of the encounters or the intrusions that they've had in the past. That's quite a bit. These bears aren't really aggressive, typically. They are not really typically afraid of the people in the area. But they do know when people aren't there, and they're happy to do their break-in jobs.
So it isn't the trash cans, which are part of Western Connecticut's lore. You cover your trash, and the trashmen come once a week to are keen to don't leave anything spilled out. That's what attracts bears here. In California, they go right through the windows, through the doors. What does the break-in look like? Second story men? What are they?
Yeah, cat burglars. No. So they do, usually they do hunt through the trash cans and the dumpsters, and they have bear-proof garbage sites. And so, but the bears usually figure them out somehow. They're pretty smart. But these bears are coming up to people's houses, pushing in windows, pushing down doors, and just walking in. I'm sure there were some people that left in a hurry and probably left things unlocked or open. But really, when you got an animal that big, it's not hard for them to get into the house.
Jeff, I'm puzzled by this quote in the California papers that the bears have left a mess. Now, Jeff, is it the bears' fault that they didn't have silverware and napkins? I mean, what? They're bears.
They obviously are not, they've never read Emily Post's Guide to Etiquette or anything like that. But yeah, no, it's strange the way people think sometimes. What did you think was going to happen when a large wild animal got inside your house? I mean, there are all kinds of reports, not with the fire here, but in other places where bobcats and skunks and other small animals get inside people's houses and do tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage. People just do not realize they're not living in urban America anymore when they're up there. They're out there in the wild.
So the word got out. The Caldor Fire is contained. It's safe to go into Tahoe. What is the status of the Caldor Fire?
The Caldor Fire right now is about 220,000 acres burned. The good news, they've got about 71% containment, and they're looking to have it contained probably by next Monday, a week from Monday, and that's exceptionally good news. The fire activity has been slow there. The winds have died. The temperatures have dropped. In some places, they've actually had some rain, some moisture. So that's all a big plus. One of the signs that they've been making headway on this is the number of total personnel fighting the fire has dropped by about 2,000 firefighters. That's a big deal. At one time, they had over 5,000 firefighters.
And we go to the largest fire in California history, the Dixie Fire. What is its status north of Caldor?
The Dixie Fire, again, they've made some great headway there. They've got it about 86% contained. It's about 960,000 acres burned. Now, they've moved back the containment date on this by almost a whole month, so that's also great news. So they're hoping to, by September 30th, get their arms completely around it. And, again, they've dropped the number of personnel. They're down about 2,400 from about 5,500. But again, that's a huge fire, 960,000 acres plus. It's hard, so hard to imagine. That's so huge.
Credit to the firefighters and their support personnel. The new concern is it's near the Sequoia National Park. It's the KNP complex. What does the word complex mean?
So a complex fire is when you have two or more fires that are near each other come together and create one massive fire. So instead of trying to communicate, oh, you're fighting fire X, I'm fighting fire Y, they'll say, oh, it's all together now. It's in this case, the KNP fire, they call it. And what they do is they'll divide it up by fire zones when they fight it, the east, west, north, south, et cetera. So by putting it all together under one label, it makes it easier to communicate and understand. But this is a fire that it's not huge. I mean, it's about 11,000 plus acres, no containment on it. But the problem is it's smack dab in the middle of the Sequoia National Park in the Sequoia Forest there, where they have these gorgeous, beautiful, giant Sequoia trees. I mean, these things are hundreds of feet tall. They're very, very old. They're part of, you know, our national treasures, and they're doing everything they can to save them.
And they're getting headlines for it, but I can't read it. The headline suggests that we have a center of interest, something's at risk. Is that true from your reading of the fire? Is the fire, remember you taught me that the fire jumps out in front, spot fires. Are they approaching the Sequoia from what you can see?
They are. That is a problem. They have been having winds that have been, you know, 15 to 25 miles an hour with gusts up to 40. And it's those gusts typically, any winds carry the burning embers, the pieces of burning trees and such, forward in front of the fire. So as the fire generates wind and heat and pushes things out into the air, you have these other embers drop out, you know, sometimes miles from where the fire line is, starting a spot fire. And then you have a whole new fire to contend with. And sometimes when it gets behind a firefighters, then it's very dangerous because they're trapped front and back. This is not really, they're not talking about spot fires as much as they are talking about the fire being wind driven. And again, with all the materials that are on the forest floor and the great concern over the trees that they're trying to save.
What are the defenses that they have, Jeff, if they approach?
The defenses they're really looking to right now are aviation resources. They're trying to do that just to moderate the fire behavior, but they also have the hand crews in there. And right now they only have about 500. So you can see they're just starting to get up on this. I don't think they have a complete plan in terms of how they're going to attack it with people because they have so many people elsewhere fighting other fires. So we'll see a beefing up of the numbers as we see numbers come off the other fires to attack this and probably some national parks resources as well, maybe even National Guard. But this is something where the hand crews are going to have to get in there and create fire lines where they cut down old dead trees or remove materials that are on the forest floor. And then, as I've talked about before, lighting backfires. So in other words, they start a fire in front of the approaching fire with the hopes that it will burn back towards the fire that's coming and rid it of that fuel. And so by the time it gets to the burned out area, it has no more momentum and the fire dies out or it's easier to contain.
Is this the where they're wrapping trees or was that elsewhere?
No, this is where it's happening. And honestly, this is the first time I've seen this. What they're doing is they're taking what looks like mylar aluminum and wrapping around the base of these giant sequoias. And that the hope is that will help keep them from burning or at least slow it down so they can get a handle on it. This is a really interesting, innovative idea. I've not seen it before. I hope it works. I've been to the sequoias many times. Matter of fact, that was the first time I ever saw a bear in California was at the sequoias. And it's just really one of these places where you look up and you see these trees everywhere and they're massive. And there's so much history there. It's just a beautiful place to visit.
You gave me a wonderful idea for a movie, Jeff. We could recruit the bears to help fight the fires. Yes. the black bears of California, sometimes blonde. If anybody's ever seen a black bear that's blonde, call into Pacific Watch. Is Jeff Bliss. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.